Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, May 20th, 2016. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is still on vacation and all next week, too. You can check out his Facebook page for some stunning shots from Madeira. That's a Portuguese island off the northwestern coast of Africa. They've been posting quite a few photos, and it is absolutely beautiful. And also one scary airport. He goes into some detail on that. So check out what Bill's up to on the other side of the world. Meanwhile, here in Tucson, we have Tom Fairbanks running the show from inside the control booth. Thank you, Tom.
Where it's safe.
Our show is heard live Monday through Friday here noon to 1 p.m. on KVOI 10:30 a.m. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And I have to say that a lot of people pick it up through the live streaming, including Bill himself, who sent me a nice email after listening to Monday's show on the web. Maybe I'll get another one today. But it is getting a little bit late over there. And actually, I already got one this morning. So, hey, let's acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners. They are TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, the Sahuarita Sun, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and TucsonLifestyle.com. You can also find archives of past shows at BuckmasterShow.com. In today's first half hour, we're going to be talking to two journalism students about why they are running full board toward a career in media when so many of us who are in it are shaking in our boots and wondering what's around the corner. Maybe it's not quite that bad, but it's pretty close. If you want to join the discussion, you are always welcome. You can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That is 790-2040. Let's welcome our students. We have Jamie Verwies. She attended Pima Community College and is now at the University of Arizona, where she is studying journalism. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And then we have Andrew Paxton, who is a journalism student at the University of Arizona, also attended PCC, and he was the 2014 summer intern at the Green Valley News, which, Andrew, that was a career highlight. Would we agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Very good, just like we rehearsed. Okay, before we dive into it, we're going to get a little background on both of you, and we are going to talk about just kind of the state of the journalism industry, what's going on, what we should be aware of as we go forward, my attitude being in it 30 years versus yours being in it 30 minutes, so if even that. So, Jamie, we'll go ahead and start with you. Where'd you go to high school, and tell us a little bit about when you got bitten by the journalism bug.
Sure. Well, I went to high school in Sarita High School. I think I really got the journalism bug first in a history class. We learned about Watergate. I fell in love with what these guys did.
Yep.
After that, I went on to college very off and on. I took Journalism 101. I hated it at first. I hated all the rules. I was a creative writer. I didn't like this punctuation marks, this AP style. What is this? So it took me years and years to finally come back to it. I started writing for some music blogs, thought I wanted to be a music journalist specifically, then came to Pima, did Aztec Press, and realized hard news and investigative pieces were really what was for me. So back to Watergate.
Oh, very good. So you kind of come full circle.
Yes.
And we love those kind of people because that's what people are reading these days, those good enterprise stories that are just kind of pulled up from the numbers, data, and that type of stuff. And you have already in your career been successful. The Arizona Press Club rated one of your pieces a second place in the Community Public Service Journalism, and I wanted to make sure that we mention this, and I wanted to talk about the story. The story was written for the Aztec Press over at Pima Community College, and the headline was, "What's Your Deadline?" Can you, and I've read the story two or three times, love it. Tell us a little bit about the story, how you got it, and why you almost didn't get it.
Sure. So kind of funny story about the name first, What's Your Deadline? This is something we were asked a lot by PR people at Pima. We got a lot of What's Your Deadline? And then that was kind of it. We'd give the deadline, but then nothing else really happened with it. So for years, we were having trouble getting police reports. Oftentimes, we didn't not only not get the report, we just didn't get a response at all. So we eventually decided, you know, that's not okay. We need access to those reports. This is, you know, a law. It's a public record. So with the help of Andrew, Cynthia, we started requesting all the police reports again. I started speaking to tons of journalists in town, trying to get assistance. then I ended up launching it all on the chancellor, who seemed to have no idea that we were having this problem.
Good.
Talked to the police chief, who also had no idea that we were experiencing these problems, apparently, although we did send emails to this person as well. It was difficult at the time. We didn't really have a set PR person. We had a temporary person who was there very, very little.
lots of transition within the college, I think, made things even more interesting than they should have been. But
do you think any of the reluctance or the pushback on their part was because you're student journalists and not, quote, real journalists?
I don't know. I do know other journalists in the area that aren't student journalists who've also experienced a lot of the same problems. But yeah, I mean, sometimes we felt that way because, you know, we're like, why aren't we getting this information? We should kind of be that first person that Pima goes to. We're the ones who tell their story. So I don't know. It almost seemed to me like they just didn't really have their act together with the public records stuff. They didn't seem to have a lot of, at least they told me, they didn't have a lot of manpower to actually do that.
Which is, as I have told many people over the years, not my problem.
Yeah.
Your obligation is to fulfill the law, and if I've made a request, then you do it. I don't care if you have manpower issues, you take it to your boss, not to me, and sit on it. I want to read what the judge said about your entry. It said, kudos to the student editors and reporters for fighting back against a college administration seemingly bent on controlling the flow of public information, even if it's illegal. accurate summation of the story?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's pretty great because they did list it on their website with the judge's critique. So that was pretty great to see that on there.
Well, good. And we do know that Pima Community College has had a rough 10, 12, 15,
yeah,
40 years. and they, you would think that they would want to bounce back. They've got a chancellor who's been there a few years now and by most counts is doing a decent job. Certainly better than the one who was before him. But you would think that transparency would be a hallmark of moving forward because that was the problem with the past, is that they were hiding so much.
Yeah.
But now we have someone in there who's head of the communications who is not real transparent. In fact, she's a little draconian. Can you talk to us about Libby?
Well,
Talk about the new media policy that came of after your...
So my series kind of ended with another piece. Pima updated their media guidelines.
Right.
When I say update, this is like a huge overhaul that they did of this policy where there are things in there that just struck us really strange. They said you might have a school official sitting on your interviews and kind of facilitating more information. That was kind of the reasoning for it. But as we all kind of know, having somebody sit in on your interview is pretty uncomfortable for everybody.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just, again, like the judge is saying, it seems like they really want to control that flow of information, even if you're just trying to contact an instructor about a program that they're maybe a part of or something, they still want you to go through the quote like official channels, and it just really, really puts a damper on things when we're trying to tell Pima's story. So it makes it hard.
It also seems like it's a little bit of an intimidation tactic, and the fact that they were maybe taking advantage of the fact that you were students. But the fact is now that is the rule for all journalists. By the way, U of A does not have this rule where you have to go through that communications department every single time you want to talk to anybody on campus. U of A, you want to talk to someone in astronomy, you just call them.
Yeah.
You want to talk to the janitor, you just go talk to them. So they may have some policies as far as dealing with the media, but you don't have to go through that one person. But Pima does now have that rule.
Yeah, and you know, they told me over and over that it's a guideline, not a rule.
It's a rule.
So the most that you get is like a slap on the wrist. But we've had problems at Pima with this culture of fear for a really long time. And, you know, this doesn't help the instructors or anyone at the school feel comfortable enough to talk about what's actually going on. So culture of fear still exists.
Yeah, I mean, we've had instructors and other staff say that they don't want to talk to us, that they're afraid to talk to the newspaper because of retaliation. And that's been years past, and that's even been recently. So there is still, whether or not this is a guideline or a rule, some people are taking it more seriously than others, and it does sort of put that curtain on things. So
okay, so they definitely are troubled, and going forward, at least as far as the media goes, this is not something that's really going to, as you put it, help get their story out.
No.
In fact, they're really kind of, you know, crushing opportunity here, because they are closing the door on a lot of really good stories. And we were talking before we went on the air, all three of us are huge proponents of the community college system, and they do some great stuff over at Pima. I have a two-year degree from Mesa Community College, then went on to U of A, complete believers in the system, mm-hmm. but not real big fans of how they are carrying out at least this media policy.
Well, yeah, it's made it great for us as budding journalists, because it's given us lots to write about. It's given us lots of experience dealing with
breaking news, policy changes.
And dealing with maybe institutions that don't necessarily want to cooperate.
Yeah, okay. It's been a wonderful learning experience.
Oh, good. You're going to have a whole career full of that. Okay, it's about 12:15, and we are going to take a short break. We will be right back with our two student journalists. And I got to pick the bumper music. And since Bill's on the other side of the earth, I picked Carpenters for the whole hour. Yep, that's Karen and Richard.
Suddenly appear every time you are near. Just like me, they long to be close to you.
Hello, I'm Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. Now is the best time to buy a new Ford from Oracle Ford. We have recently slashed our prices on every new model in stock. Looking for a fuel-efficient car with luxury options like navigation? You can get up to $6,000 off MSRP on our new 15 Focus 4-door hatchback Titanium. Or if you prefer, take $4,000 off MSRP and get 0% for 72 months. We have a good selection of Fusion and Escape models where you can get a minimum of $5,000 off MSRP or choose 0% for 72 months plus $3,500 off sticker. And at Oracle Ford, we will not ask you to pay for dealer ads, and we have no city sales tax. For the month of May, we are featuring the Focus, Fusion, and Escape. But remember, every model in stock has been reduced. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 16 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website travelsmarttus.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amma Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Just the radio. Don't you remember you told me you loved me?
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. And have you ever heard a more beautiful voice on the radio? That's Karen Carpenter. And she's awesome. Maybe next time we'll do the Osmonds. We'll have to see. We are here. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. I'm the editor of the Green Valley News, Sawarita Sun, and we're talking about journalism, and we have a couple of students with us, Jamie Verwise, who is a University of Arizona journalism student, and Andrew Paxton also, and they both have a community college background, which I appreciate because we're all big fans of that. Andrew, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got that, got into journalism and why you think it's going to be stable enough to actually build a career in.
Well, my background in journalism does go back to high school. I was on my high school paper, and I went to high school during 9/11. So that kind of was a big thing that sort of, you know, I kind of saw the world changing and wanted to kind of figure out how I could get involved in that and be a part of that. And then I kind of fell out of school for a while, and then I came back and started a community college and was taking writing classes and wanted to figure out how I could get paid to write. So the way that kind of made sense was to go into journalism and figure out how to make a difference by holding people accountable and doing that. So I became the editor of the paper there, and now I actually work for the paper as the doing all the business stuff. So I'm still tied to Pima while attending the U of A, but I think the industry is going to stick around, and I think it's a good industry to go into because people still want the news. People want to know what's going on in the world, especially we were just talking things more than ever, craziness going on, and people want to know what's going, put that in context and figure out just exactly what it all means and how it affects them in their day-to-day lives.
And I like to remind people that people are reading what we write more than ever before. It's just how they're reading it that is hurting the industry, or I shouldn't say hurting. I should say forcing us to rethink how we do things. Before we move on, I wanted to mention that Pima Community College is a recipient of a regional SPJ award. Tell us what SPJ is and what the award is.
So the Society of Professional Journalists, which is basically the largest group of journalists in the country, they recognized Aztec Press as the best non-daily paper in the region for 2015. So we were up against newspapers from California, Nevada, I believe, and a few other areas from the Southwest, and they ranked our paper as the top in the region. So just based on our coverage and, you know, everything that we were doing as far as covering what was going on at the papers or at the college, so they seemed to like it.
You've done some good work over there, and we were just talking about a little bit of it with the story that Jamie did that won the award, and it is, again, pushing back against people who want to control the media. And we were discussing earlier about people sitting in on interviews and how disconcerting that is. That's a very corporate thing to do, but the community college is not necessarily supposed to be like that. And it gets a little unnerving for everybody. They can do what they want, but I just wonder sometimes if they realize they're just shooting themselves in the foot.
I wonder that too sometimes. Certainly.
As you know, as both former editors of the paper, you know, over the last few years, we would love to work with the college more and get more information from them more than, you know, a day in advance. We would love to be getting information on students and on instructors who are doing amazing things and tell those stories. And sometimes we're just not able to.
Right. And I think they need to understand our commitment to objectivities. No, nobody is out to get anybody.
No.
You know, that's in the movies. We don't do that. We want to tell stories, but we want to be accurate. And the best thing to do is just open it up and be transparent, which Pima has said it wants to be. It's just not following through. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, the chancellor often speaks about transparency.
Right.
Whenever we get an email that goes to everybody, I think I see transparency in there multiple times.
Yes. And yes.
Sometimes you begin to wonder what people's interpretation of transparency actually is.
Right. And they're trying to spin the message, and I get that because they are trying to protect and enhance something. And I get it. I completely get it. And if I were in their position, maybe I would do that too. I would think I would approach it a little bit differently because the media can be your ally at least as long as you understand that at times they've got a job to do that you're not going to necessarily like what's there. But the real question is it fair and is it accurate? And if it is, then you just take it. And then you just be glad that you're training good journalists who will go out and do the same for other audiences. So, Jamie, as readers are migrating to the web, so are advertisers. And that's really what has hit a lot of newspapers hard. We still make most of our money off of print. That's going away. Papers are going out of business. Staffs are being cut. Why would your parents let you major in this?
Well, they said I probably wouldn't make it as an actress. So this, you know, that was an idea I had a while back. So this is a little bit
wise parents. Yeah, good.
You know, I'm not too worried about it. My parents are happy for me. My mom's terrified about the kind of things that I want to cover because she sees the news and she sees what happens sometimes. But I'm not worried about it. I think that we need good journalism more than ever right now. And I'm really interested in seeing kind of, you know, nonprofit newspapers. That's something I'm really interested in doing, for example. The industry is changing, and it's, as I learn a little bit more about it, it can be a bit intimidating at times. I mean, we learned about what happened in Las Vegas with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. How could I work at somewhere with that kind of prior restraint, you know? But
right.
I feel good about it. Everybody in journalism that I've met, who's working in journalism, who I've worked with, has optimism and hope, so I do as well.
Well, a lot of us would argue that we're already nonprofits, but that's going a different direction. Andrew, we are reinventing, really, how we get news, and not reinventing so much, but it used to be that a trained reporter would go out and cover a story, come back. If you worked for a super small paper, you also would take the photo, but basically you wrote a story and you were done. Now we have video, we have live feeds, we have social media, we have lots of different expectations, one story, lots of different levels. What's going on at PCC to address this?
Well, we're definitely trying to expand all those different avenues. We were actually just talking before the show about looking into doing a podcast because if you can digest 3 minutes of a newspaper into 3 minutes, it makes it a lot easier for people who are on the go. So that's definitely something that we're going to be looking into moving forward. And just making the news more accessible, videos, photos, something that's shareable, something that's easily digestible because it is a busy world and we only maybe have a few minutes to invest in a story. But we also have to deliver on the promise. You know, if somebody's going to click on our story or watch our video, it has to be worth something. Because if it's not, then we've betrayed that reader or that viewer, and then we lose them. So
No clickbait.
Yeah, exactly.
And you've been at U of A for about a year now. And do you think that they are heading in the right direction as far as preparing journalists for what a entry-level newsroom is going to want or expect?
I think all the professors that I've had at the U of A are really amazing. They seem like they really care about their students. They're willing to invest the time into their students. But the students have to have that passion as well. They have to come at it with the right attitude. You're not going to join this industry to make a lot of money. You shouldn't join this industry because you want to write for the New York Times or be on ESPN. You should do it because you love the work. And if the accolades and the awards or the fame comes later, that's all well and good. But you should be doing it because you want to dig into that local story. Or you want to tell that local person's story. It shouldn't be about yourself. It should be about what's going on around you and how that relates to everything else. And I think the U of A program is preparing students for that.
Very, very good to hear. I think we call that ink in the veins. Jamie, we have about a minute left. We're going to leave it with you. We talk a lot about how your generation is consuming media, but what about the types of stories they're going after? What do they want to read and what should they be reading? And really, it's not the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing. You know, I think there's a lot of stories that are really important, things that are happening all around the world that are just not getting told. So I think we need to, I think that my generation goes for what's easy a lot of the time.
Sure.
So something that's easily digestible. People like BuzzFeed because it makes them feel good. People like BuzzFeed because it makes them feel like they're a part of it. You can take a quiz and, you know, it's not really a story, but, you know, you did something. Your brain feels good about it.
I think people do need to pay more attention to local news as well.
I do too.
They need to, because local, what happens in your own neighborhood really impacts you. And it's colorful and interesting what Trump is saying or what's happening half the world away. But what your local politicians matter really more in your day-to-day life.
And that's making the boring but important interesting. And for us, it means shorter stories, alternative storytelling methods, some video, things like that. And we're all kind of trying to meet this new generation where they're at without giving up the fact that we do need to be delivering specific types of stories that are really important to their lives. All news is local, as they say. So, well, I want to thank Jamie Verwise and Andrew Paxton for leaving those of us in journalism with a lot of hope for the future. I know you're going to have good careers and exciting careers, and it's just terrific to talk with you about journalism. After our break, we're going to be joined by Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com on the Friday Journalist Roundtable. And trust me, you are not going to want to miss this one. We'll be right back. Here's more Karen.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun.
Before the rising sun.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I am Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's on vacation. I'm joined by Sarah Garrett-Gasman, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
Always good to have you. And Dylan Smith, publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks for coming in, Dylan.
But of course.
Sarah, we're going to talk about a couple of things today that I want to address before we get to a real goofy story that Dylan has been working on, and there's no other way to describe it. But today is a big day over at the Daily Star.
Yes, yes it is. It is the last day after 36 years of Bobby Jo Buell being at the Star. She's our editor, the boss of all of us, and today is her final day. She's not retiring. She says she will never retire, but she is
true journalist.
Yes, yeah. Going on to do hopefully fun and rewarding things.
And I tell you, the best thing you can say about somebody in this industry is that they are hardworking and they care about the community. And I think we could say both of those things about her.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she is. She had a piece in today's editorial section about how when she came to the Star 36 years ago, she thought she'd stay a couple years, move on to something bigger, and found a home and a community. And I think that's one of the things that has made her journalism so strong, is that she is deeply connected to the Tucson community. She knows everyone. Everyone knows her. And she has had the ability to combine that community connection with some really solid journalism by the Star over the years.
Right, and you've got to have a thick skin in this business, and you never quite know where it's going to come from or why it's even coming, but she has taken a lot of hits with grace, and she's left the community better for it. So, Bobby Jo Buell, thank you for what you have done. We know it is not an easy job.
And she spent almost her entire career working for the Star, except for a very short stint, but pretty much straight out of college. She was started as a reporter there, and
right.
That's really a tremendous commitment to spend that long with an institution and help it weather the storms for that many years.
Absolutely. So and all the changes we've seen just in the past 10, 12 years.
Yeah. And in classic Bobby Jo form, she prohibited us from doing the standard cake and slideshow and all of that. She's putting it on herself. So she is
okay.
A
good for her.
Yeah, she's...
And it also wasn't announced in the paper until today, even though people knew about it for 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. So yeah, she didn't want the big...
send-off, huh?
Yes.
The long goodbye.
Yes.
As it were, because she isn't saying goodbye. And I can guarantee you, if she's like any good editor out there who leaves a paper, you're still going to be calling in tips.
Oh, absolutely. And probably letters to the editor about what we did wrong.
And a correction or two here and there.
Yeah. Very good.
Here's how I would have played that one.
Keep her on the payroll, I say. Okay. Okay, well, it passed. We're talking about Prop 123, but not before giving the governor and his supporters about 48 hours of fits. Took that long to get the final vote tally, but Prop 123, education funding, did pass. Sarah, I know education is very important to you. You used to be an education reporter, and the Star was very much behind this one, but did you think it would be this close?
Yeah, actually.
Really?
We kind of did. And I want to, the Star endorsed it on the editorial page, but with a giant caveat that this is a really crummy deal.
Yeah.
But it boiled down to, when we went around and around about it, that there is no reason, there's no alternative. There's no anything else on the table. And the idea that you could turn it down and force the legislature to do the right thing with education funding is just unrealistic. And so when it came down to it, we went with it's better to have something than nothing. And it's a bad deal. It is. But it's going to be and it was a squeaker.
Sure was. Less than a percentage point and, what, I don't know, 17,000 votes,
something like
that.
17,000. There are still several thousand left to be tallied, but at this point, nowhere near enough outstanding votes to change the outcome of the election.
Okay.
But it's already gone to court. Somebody's already suing over this, saying that this proposition is in violation of Arizona's Enabling Act, the act of Congress that let us become a state and basically laid out, among many other things, how we could use state land trust and our public lands. So we will see what becomes of that. This entire debate may have all been for naught, and we might be back to square one completely over again.
I do think it's important that the people, a lot of the campaigns were saying, you know, Pro 123 was, this is just the first step. And against Prop 123, we're saying we need to do something more. And I think we need to get both of those groups, because no one was arguing that that public education doesn't need more money.
I think some of the no voters were saying
but,
that public education doesn't need more money.
Well, they
and perhaps some of the yes voters were, you know, there are limits that are in this proposition to future education funding. And some people might have been willing to pay a little bit now for a nice hard limit later.
Well, that is true. But I think looking past this, going forward, there is absolutely no question that Prop 123 cannot be the final answer on education funding in Arizona. And we can't just say, oh, well, it's over now, everything's fixed, because it is most certainly not fixed. And I hope that the fact that it was so razor thin energizes people and sends a message that things need to change.
Despite all the heated words and all the debate over this, and it's seeming like a lot of money, it's really just a drop in a leaky bucket.
Exactly, and I think that's a really good point here too, is hopefully people don't think that, oh, it's problem solved, and it's not. It has bought us a little bit of time, but we're not nearly where we should be. And I think for a lot of the people I talked to, and I talked to dozens of them down in the Green Valley area, most of them opposed to it. What they were upset about was, now can we trust anytime we pass a proposition, like we passed Prop 301 in the year 2000 to fund this education, can we trust that the state's actually going to follow through on it?
And that is a really, really good question. And the answer to that needs to come in November and future Novembers, when different people run for office and the legislature changes. This is a long-term thing. And we should pay attention that the legislature we have now and have had for the past couple years has basically said, we don't care about what the voters want and what the courts want.
Right. Okay, Prop 123, it has passed. The state constitution will change as a result of it. We'll also note Prop 124 easily passed. That's the retirement overhaul.
Couldn't find anybody opposed to that.
Well, 30% of the voters were, but they probably don't know why.
Right. So.
In any proposition, you pretty much get 30% of people just automatically say no, and it doesn't really matter what it is. It could be to, you know, save puppies without spending a dime, and somebody would say no because they like cats or are just contrary.
And people think us journalists are naysayers. No, it's the voters. Okay, Dylan, we have been talking about journalism all day, and now we're going to talk about fakey journalism, at least in this story that is on TucsonSentinel.com, hit last night, and I will tell you, I was laughing and crying through part of it. So just kind of slowly lay this thing out for us.
There are, you know, we always say there are a lot of moving parts to stories. There are a lot of moving parts to this story. But in essence, a staffer for County Supervisor Allie Miller is linked pretty directly, and he acknowledges it, to an online persona. And that same name of that online persona is been used to do the beginnings of a fake news website online with a Facebook account and a Twitter account and a website and emails sent to supervisors and queries sent to political candidates. And people started asking questions about, you know, what is the supposed Arizona Daily Herald that doesn't seem to really exist anywhere from someone who doesn't seem to really exist. And if you, you know, start drawing lines in between all these connections, they lead back to this aide for Allie Miller. And this young man said that he was not responsible for the website, but that a friend of his might have been playing a prank on him. And that one of the most obvious connections is that a photograph that was taken from the seat that he was sitting in at Tuesday's county supervisors meeting was posted on the Facebook page of the Daily Herald. He says he texted that to a friend of his. His friend asked him where he was, and he sent it to him. And then pretty much immediately, it apparently showed up on that Facebook account.
So an aide for Allie Miller apparently created this mini media empire online, Arizona Daily Herald, which if you've worked in this state for any amount of time, does not exist.
With the name of a person who doesn't exist.
Right. And it's traced back to this person. What does Allie Miller think? Does she is she a little alarmed that somebody on her staff is doing this? Or does she not even think that he did it? Because he's not claiming responsibility.
Allie Miller didn't respond to our request for comment, and so we didn't get to speak with her and ask her any questions. So we're not quite certain what Allie Miller thinks.
Okay, now, if I'm not mistaken, she did respond to the Arizona Daily Star, and I believe she said that the same line that the young man gave you, and that is that his account was hacked or maybe somebody was playing a prank or something. So they're backing away and not claiming.
All Miller told the Star was that her aide said that he didn't send the emails.
Okay.
And that was pretty much the extent of her response to them. And the other thing we should point out is that when I got the only interview with this aide, pretty young man. He's still a college student. And, started asking him questions about this. He has this persona that he uses online. He's got a hobby that he's created an imaginary country centered on his neighborhood. And, you know, we could easily make fun of that if we wanted to.
Right.
But the point of it is that under that, he uses a name of the person who was running this news website. And immediately after I spoke with him Tuesday night, the social media accounts of the Arizona Daily Herald, the Facebook and Twitter, were scrubbed of content. The website itself was taken down pretty much immediately. And other things that we had discussed about things that he acknowledged were his were also immediately disappearing from the internet.
Now,
other things of his that mentioned this name or that about his hobby or even another little sort of supposed news website that he started a year ago, the Tucson Trumpet, that had a slogan about heralding news in Arizona, that still, at least, was still up this morning. So, you know, we can't say definitively that this person did this, but if you draw every possible line and, you know, his explanation that someone was playing a prank on him, just,
yeah,
it does not add up.
Yeah, it quacks like a duck. Back to these emails that he sent to candidates.
Yes.
What is the nature of the emails? What was he trying to get out of them?
Well, he sent emails to all of the sitting supervisors asking to be put on their email list to get their press releases, sent a message through the county messaging system to county staff asking to get press releases, and then to a number of the candidates, we're not quite certain how many of them, but a good many of them, he sent messages asking them for comments on Allie Miller's road plan.
And the emails were very, very detailed about her plan. And asking, you know, like, so what is your plan? What do you think? Is it
exactly,
as good
yes.
as Allie Miller's? Because she's running for re-election, too. Yeah, that was not as, I mean, as someone who has sent many an email asking for interviews and interview questions, I do not put that much time into stating other people's positions.
That's right. And also, my guess is that you would include a phone number, which this didn't have. And then
it's usually easier to and more effective to, you know, actually speak with someone.
There we go.
And trade some emails back and forth behind the cloak of a fake website. Well, not fake, but, you know, because it existed. There was a website,
right.
So we can't say it was fake. But, you know, a supposed news website run by a person who claims to have graduated with a journalism degree from the U of A, who never attended the U of A and doesn't really exist.
Okay, and we got about 45 seconds left here. And I'm going to guess that if you're Allie Miller now, you are going to want to get to the bottom of this and find out whether this young man, and again, we think he could be as young as 19,
yes.
was doing this, and then if he was doing it, was he doing it with her permission? And you, in fact, are still pursuing that.
Yeah, I've asked for a number of different public records requests that could show or not show more potential connections between them. And the other thing we should mention that is that when this photograph was taken during the supervisors' meeting, he was also sitting with another one of Allie Miller's aides, and people there who were in the room said they were passing a smartphone back and forth at the time that the photograph was taken.
Okay, we could talk about this all day, it's going to be a developing story. TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan's going to have the latest on it. Thank you to Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, and to Dylan Smith, publisher editor of TucsonSentinel.com. We got some more Karen Carpenter for you, and then a little bit of help to plan your weekend. We will be right back as soon as we find Karen Carpenter.
Why don't you sing it for us?
Everyone will immediately flip off their radios.
Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Hello, I'm Patrice Ross with Oracle Ford. Now is the best time to buy a new Ford from Oracle Ford. We have recently slashed our prices on every new model in stock. Looking for a fuel-efficient car with luxury options like navigation? You can get up to $6,000 off MSRP on our new 15 Focus 4-door hatchback Titanium. Or if you prefer, take $4,000 off MSRP and get 0% for 72 months. We have a good selection of Fusion and Escape models where you can get a minimum of $5,000 off MSRP or choose 0% for 72 months plus $3,500 off sticker. And at Oracle Ford, we will not ask you to pay for dealer ads, and we have no city sales tax. For the month of May, we are featuring the Focus, Fusion, and Escape. But remember, every model in stock has been reduced. Oracle Ford, drive a little, save a lot. Call 818-FORD or visit the web at oracleford.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
And that music means it is now time for the Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, it's the 21st Silver City Blues and Bike Festival. For complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casita de Gila Guest Lodge, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And we are joined by Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Good, good. Thank you for stepping in. We appreciate that. And give us a few things to do this weekend in Tucson.
Well, I'm happy to help. One great thing to do tomorrow at Red Smokehouse. Have you been there for the barbecue yet, Dan?
Please. I don't get out much, man.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. They're having a summer barbecue bash that's in Main Gate Square by the university. It's tomorrow, starting at 4 p.m. They've got Whiskey Del Bac cocktails. They've got specials on Dragoon beer. E&R Pork will be there doing this full hog pork plate. Matt Russell, who probably should be here, will be there at 5 p.m. as
Excellent.
Well. So if you want to ask him what he was doing today, feel free.
Okay.
The third annual Sour Fest at Tap and Bottle downtown. It's a celebration of sour beers, saisons, all these different funky flavors. That's Saturday and Sunday. No admission or anything. Just show up and buy a beer, and you're a part of it already. More information about that at thetapandbottle.com.
Very good.
It's also, you want to get a little more cultured. It's not just barbecue and beer. I want to make sure you get a full representation of Tucson. It's the second weekend of the Tucson Artists Open Studio Tour. That's Saturday and Sunday. All over downtown, Metal Arts Village, all over the place. Get a copy of the Zocalo magazine. It's got a map and all the studios that are open. Or you can go to TucsonOpenStudios.com. get a little culture in your life. Got time for one more, Dan?
Sure.
All right, great.
Go for it.
At Carriage House, also in the heart of downtown, Janos Wilders' new operation, he's going to have a cooking class with Chef Ryan Clark from PY Steakhouse. They're going to be, you can learn how to make all kinds of dishes. Chef Ryan Clark was the Iron Chef of Tucson several years in a row, and now he's there at PY Steakhouse. Learn how to make ceviche of shrimp with mango, sous vide sea bass, and so much more. More information about that at carriagehousetucson.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan Gibson.
I just noticed that it's your birthday. What are you going to, which of these are you picking to celebrate your birthday?
Yeah.
I'm going to be going to the Sourfest at Tap and Bottle, but I'll also be going to Retro Game Show Night at Hotel Congress on Saturday.
Excellent. That is Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Thank you for phoning in and telling us some of the best ways we can spend this weekend. I am going to be back in this seat on Monday for the Political Face-Off, along with my guest Michelle Phillips, Executive Director of the Greater Green Valley Community Foundation, whose job is in part to help nonprofits be successful. Until then, The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KBOI, including Tom Fairbanks, Ed Alexander, Ray Allen, the Buckmaster Show Executive Assistant Rosemary Brandt, I am Dan Scheer, wishing you a terrific weekend. One more plug, District 4 Board of Supervisors debate, 2 p.m. Saturday, Quail Creek Clubhouse down in Green Valley.
So can't miss a bit.
There we go. I'm going to be moderating. We will see you. You have a great weekend.